And what we are doing all the time is, most importantly, learning how to pray. Not just praying, but learning how to pray. All right? So that we can make it a habit in our lives. The Lord was speaking to disciples that men will always pray and not get tired. And I just feel like emphasizing that one to us again today. He said men ought always to pray and not to get tired. Why do people get tired? It is because prayer, the results is often delayed. So we need to understand that it's often delayed. It's not always rapid, yet it's good. Sometimes you hear that somebody say, come, today, God will answer you. You know the truth? God answers you immediately. He does. But the revelation, the manifestation of the answer may take a while. And I keep on saying all the time, when Daniel prayed, God heard him the first day, according to the testimony of the angel that brought the answer to him. But it took that guy 3 weeks to arrive. And you're telling me that you were heard, I was heard the first day, but it took you 3 weeks to arrive. The fellow said, don't be angry. It's not because I was watching Manchester United on the way. It's because somebody withstood me. And that what I like to bring out is that why I was not able to break through the resistance. How was he able to break through the fellow that was withstanding him? It was because Michael was released. Who sent Michael? Give me an answer. So the good Lord sent Michael, amen? Why did it take him 3 weeks to send Michael? The first day they were fighting, he didn't know that man couldn't go through. The second day, he didn't know that angel couldn't go through. At the end of the first day, second day, he thought the angel would try. 1 week, you haven't sent Michael. See, God doesn't joke. There is an order by which he does things. I do not claim to have all the answers, all right? But one thing I know for certain is that there was a reason. Something happened that made God release Michael after 21 days. Something must have happened. Something happened. And I'm convinced that that thing had to do with what was going on the earth. And that was why I believe that one of those things, well, something like this, I believe that Daniel was involved in many of those things. The words that was uttering, you know, you don't say something 3 times for God to hear it. Do you hear what I say? You don't need to say the same thing 3 times for the Lord to hear it. You say the first time, he's gotten the point. So what else will you say on day 2? If you are praying, let me just say that to you. You want to declare a 30-day fast. If you have to repeat what you said on day 1, on day 2, end that fast. It has ended. You are wasting time this time around. You are wasting time. What you said on day 1, if that's what you are going to repeat on day 2, you are wasting time. Unless that thing is about yourself, it is not God you are talking to. You understand my point? Because your words are very important. You might be declaring things about yourself. You understand? I walk in patience in the name of Jesus. I'm a child of God. The love nature of God is in me. I'm kind, you know, stuff like that. You are talking to yourself. You can do that in the place of prayer. But if it's like, God, you know that thing I was telling you about, let me start again. It's unnecessary. Just stop it. I believe that Daniel understood this, and when he was praying for that length of time, each day he had to make supplications. I believe that as he's there, the Holy Spirit will help him see something. That, listen, this thing that you were praying about, there's another part of it you need to say. And he will say that. And it gets to a particular point. You know, that's how spiritual things work. That he will have built up. Because prayer is like incense. Prayer has measures. Spiritual things have measure. So he will have built up that prayer to a particular level. That it will trigger the release of Michael. And then Michael will go and then help that angel and bring forth the answer to him. And that's why Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not get tired. Do you understand my point? I say to us all the time, a place like a nation, all right, or your family, things like that, the prayers don't often work overnight. There are so many spirits. That's the simple reason. There are so many spirits that prevent them, that are affecting what is going on. So those who know the true God, all right, those who know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. So they need, because they have an advantage there, that they know their God. So they have to be persistent in fighting what the other people are putting up. Like in a country like ours, you have, no, I preached that message, you know, I was listening to the message and trying to put things together. I think it was yesterday night. I realized that this is very important. We have to circulate that message I preached after the election to every Nigerian who has been praying for this country, because you must keep on the prayer pressure. Because as you are saying good, come. Some people say no, evil will come. And there are two reasons why they are saying it. Number one, because they are so confused, they don't know any other thing, or rather, apart from wishing evil to come. Or some actually prosper when things are not working well. Some people don't want the court system to work properly because they are criminals. The only way they get away is because justice is slow. All right, so those two groups of people, they are working against you. They are fighting against you. Some people, they claim to be Christians, but they have very wrong thoughts about what is going on. They don't have understanding. And their spirit is releasing what is negative into the air. So those who know God, they have to continue to say what is right, persistently fighting those people. That is their spirit, what they are releasing to the air. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? That's what it is. I just feel like emphasizing that one again towards this evening. That prayer must be persistent. You don't give up ever. You don't give up easy. If God allows you to pray about something, you don't give up about it. Unless he specifically says, don't talk about that matter again. Listen, when we are praying persistently, if God has issued forth a word about something, our persistent prayer is to bring forth the word of God, not to make him change his mind. The only thing that changes the mind of God, listen to me, is repentance. What did I say? That is the only thing that changes the mind of God. That is, if God brings forth a word of judgment and he speaks negatively about somebody and it is tied, are you getting me, to iniquity. It is tied to what the person has done wrong. What can make God change his mind? It's not God, please, don't do that now. You know you're a good God. It is repentance. Do you follow my point? I'm not making an issue here. So persistent prayer is about establishing what God wants to do. And that is why as believers, you understand, we must learn the word of God. So you take a country like ours, God says, I know the plan I have towards for you. They are plans of good and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope. He says, you are the light of the world, all right? And you are the salt of the earth, which means that your presence is supposed to make this nation good. That is what God wants. If you don't see anything like that, then it is your duty to continue to press in declaration the will of God into the air so as to counteract the negative things that people are bringing up in there. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. The persistent prayer is not so as to make God change his mind. It is so as to establish the will of God. For example, in your life, you are believing God for... there are different ways you pray, of course. There are different ways you pray about different things. But whatever you are doing, we call it prayer because you are speaking into the spiritual realm, you are talking to God, or you are talking to the situation. Let's call everything prayer, all right? For example, you know God's will for your life, for your health, is perfect health. Healing from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Completely. That's the will of God. Some people, after they have prayed for some time, and God doesn't seem to have answered, you know what the conclusion? It is not the will of God to heal. That is not true. It cannot be true. It's not ever true. Anything that God has expressed as his will is his will. So, okay, how come I've not seen it? Yes, Daniel took place for 3 weeks before Michael was released. Like I was saying, there must be some things that he was saying different. It's not just he goes every day repeating the same thing so that God will now do what he did not want to do. No, that's what I'm going to emphasize. You cannot talk God into doing what he doesn't want to do because you stay there for a long time unless you are making critical changes in your own life. That's how I'm going to explain all of these things. You know, I went into this one issue of you can't just change God's mind. Because some people declare 40 days fast that God must change his mind. Listen, if you are staying long in prayer, you had better be changing long. Does my English make sense there? Listen, you want to fast for 40 days so that God will do something he was not planning to do before. Then make sure that in 40 days, it is you that's always changing. Because the power to resist the release of Michael lies on the earth. It is human beings that give the prince of Persia, you understand? That prince of Persia, it is human beings that give him the strength to resist Michael. You don't spend all your time in prayer trying to convince God. He's convinced. I hope you can understand. He's convinced already. Say, God, I want to live long. I don't want to die early. That before you were born, he wanted you to live long. Before you were born, he desired that you should live long. He desired that you should be in perfect health. I like the way the elder John said it. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Those were men taught by the Lord Jesus directly. Those were people that had experience with God. So when he says, I wish above all things, he's telling you how God reasons. He was giving you the mind of God. So, what if I am not prospering and I am not in good health? It is not that I am going to pray until God finally releases the good health by force. It is, what is the hindrance? What is the reason why I am not prospering or being in good health? I can handle that reason in prayer. Oh, I'm back to it again. The reason why the release is not coming is not your uncle. That's what I'm trying to say. There's nobody in your family that is jazzing you up. For those who don't know, when we say jazz, it's our local way of describing. Okay, we anglicized. That jazz is good now because juju is even worse than. Find me a word. Occultic power, you know, negative. Fetish practices, voodoo, casting spells. That's all we summarize. Instead of going through all this long grammar, we just say jazz. Nobody is casting jazz upon you so you will not prosper. They can't. Listen, nobody is the reason why you are not prospering. There is no witch somewhere cooking up something so that you, I told you a story many years ago. I've not repeated in a while. A friend of mine had a clinic in the village. And he said he had a nurse working there that had a very caustic mouth. You know, some people, when they talk to you, their words will cut deep into your soul. He said one man was sick, so it was an admission. So he was talking to the nurse one day that he doesn't know, he thinks people want to kill him. So the nurse looked at him, they want to kill you. He said, do you have land? The man said, no. So you don't have a house? No. You have a wife? No. The nurse asked a number of questions, material things that people should possess. Do you have? Most of them, negative. The nurse turned to him and said, do you know killing people is expensive? That what will somebody profit from killing you? When you're dead, we're not going to have land to inherit. There's no business that invested millions that when it's going to yield, we'll collect it. They will now invest the money of buying chicken, goat to sacrifice to one false god to kill you. Say, my friend, better wake up, face your life. No, my friend owned the clinic, you know. He said that's what the nurse told the patient to. Say, bros, nobody's after you. You're after yourself. So don't use your 40 days fast to be attacking those who are attacking you. Hear this. This is the word of God. It's truth that God wants me to correct this generation in Nigeria. Anybody going to a church that every day you get there, your enemies, all the people that say you won't prosper, you are wasting time. Those people are not worshiping God. They are fooling themselves. Pure tomfoolery. The people wake up on Sunday morning to go and joke. I saw a man, I told you this a number of times, recent times, put a hand over you. Your uncle is trying to kill you. There's something around your business. There's something. They're after your business from the village. They don't want you to prosper. You are the first shining light that's coming out of that village. Is that not so? Are you not the first son? Yes, I'm the first son. People don't. When I start here, they can't get away from there. If you don't know God, go and learn about Him. You wake up in the morning and be deceiving people. And then when we watch too much of it, we start believing it. So when things don't work well for us, you start wondering, who is it that doesn't want me to prosper? They are so busy trying to prosper themselves that they don't even have time for you. Pastor, you don't know there are enemies. Who says there are no enemies? But I'm just emphasizing again that they are not the reason why the prince of Persia has the power to prevent your angel from coming in. That's what I'm saying. So if I'm going to spend 40 days in prayer, I'm going to spend the 40 days checking myself. Okay, Banky. All right, you have been praying for this. It has not yet manifested. Why? Then the Holy Spirit says that, you know, you don't say the same thing consistently for long. You change your mind every day. You're a double-minded man. You say, what? Just by the way, you've not seen people who do 20 businesses in 1 year. And they are wondering why they are not prospering. You can't prosper. In January, you were selling recharge cards. By February, you have moved to pure water. In March, you are not selling shoes. June, you try down for some time because you sold some. By June, they say shoe is not moving, it's bag. They now see one girl wearing one hair. Say, what is this? Is it your natural hair? No, it's Brazilian hair. How much is it? 70,000. Wow, the profit margin must be huge. By August, we see you carrying attachment all over the place. That's why you have not gone far. Because there is no business that doesn't have a learning process. Even if it is paper and pen you want to sell, you'll be surprised. That's why you know that there are different calibers of paper. Some are thick, some are thin, some write well, some are smooth, some are glossy, some are matte. You now find out that when school's about to open, there's a type that sells. You know the one that cockroach will eat? The one. All of this, the first 2 years, you are still learning. So if you've changed business, you know, 5 times in the last 1 year, just know that is the reason why you have not prospered. A double-minded girl, unstable in all her ways. Such a girl should not expect to receive anything from the line of business. It is not your enemy. When I discovered that, I started praying, God, give me the spirit of patience. Help me so that I'll be patient. Then as I'm there, that's why you cannot fast and pray without books and messages. It's not possible. No. There should be, you must be reading. Reading must be half of the time. Something must be talking to you. I don't know how spiritual you are that you stay somewhere. Somebody, the Holy Spirit will be talking to you for 40 days. 90% of people, hey, when I say this kind of thing, you wonder what kind of human being I am. 90% of people who say that Holy Spirit talks to them for 40 days were deceived. The only 10% that the Holy Spirit really talks to for that length of time. Most people can't stand his presence for that long. And let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit and talk. I don't know about human beings' experiences. I will not build on modern day people's experience. I will build on biblical stories. Nobody used Ogboju to stay in God's presence for 40 days. Nobody. I'm not aware of any. You know what they call Ogboju? Okay, sorry. Ogboju is by force, determination, strong will. I'm a strong man. I've made up my mind for 40 days, I will not eat. Don't worry. Nobody in the Bible ever did it. Not one person. Don't worry. I like the way you're looking at me like, are you a Christian? I'm just not the common type. The Lord is good. No, go and read the scriptures. There's nobody. Only 3 people in the Bible did not eat for 40 days that you know about, right? Who are they? Okay, starting from the end. Jesus Christ, Elijah, and then? Remember their circumstances. We won't bother reading the scriptures. Let's start from the other one so that it will be easier to build up to the Lord Jesus himself. One, Moses was where? God told him, come. He went up to the mountain in the presence of God. It was not his idea. It was God that called him. And he stood in the tangible presence of God. At such times, you don't have time to think about food. The presence of God is exuding strength into your system. He did not get up and tell Israel, guys, I want to fast for 40 days, whether God will speak to me for you. No. The second person is Elijah. You know the story. After he had done things, fought Jezebel, killed all the prophets, Jezebel came to threaten, he ran. And then an angel, he got tired, he laid down. An angel said to him, eat. He ate and lay down again. The angel said, eat some more because the journey is long. And the Bible says he went in the strength of that meal for 40 days. It was angel's food. It was not bread and Quaker oats. Even if it is okpa, you eat 6 rounds of okpa. Listen, for that day you feel full. By next day you are hungry. You know. Let's get this clear. And the last person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember? In his own case, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And the Bible says, let me just add this one to you. For 40 days he did not eat, he did not drink. Afterwards, he became hungry. It was not the first day he became hungry. That's your own fast, that by first day you're already hungry. You should know you are the one that led yourself, not the Holy Spirit. Please, I'm going to emphasize something to people. Let's know how Christians are supposed to do these things. Let me say this to you categorically. I'm one person that don't understand why a Christian should tell me he's fasting and he's hungry. Listen, I'm serious about it. Oh, God. They are looking at me funny. I've seen Christians prescribe fast. The first day, you are allowed to drink juice and pap and eat little fish, not fried. The next day, the third day, no more this thing. By the fifth day, only water. And I'm looking at you. Do I look like a Hindu to you or a Buddhist? What is all this prescription of flesh for? I'm sorry to say, it's pure carnality. If you can from the beginning plot what you will eat and eat and eat and eat, that one is not Christianity. That's how Buddhists do it. That's how Hindus do it. Telling you the truth. What should Christians do? That's what I keep on emphasizing. You know, that's where I began from. What do we do in the 3 weeks? What do we do in 40 days? First day, I'm working on myself. It's not all this, people say you put your body under. Let me tell you something. When you talk about putting your body under, food is natural and is necessary for existence. God doesn't say to you, please don't eat. Why don't you say you are putting your body under? I won't breathe for 1 minute to show that I'm a spiritual man. Do you do that? Breathing is good and natural. I was telling my wife the other day, we were discussing. Let me just digress briefly. Let me explain to Christians what it means to put the body under. Do you want to learn that? My wife and I were discussing the other day. You know, somebody said something. I'm digressing. I'm putting pause. I know where I was so that you'll be able to remind me just in case I forgot. I'm talking about what do we do for the 3 weeks before the angel comes? What do we do for 40 days? We have to go on a 40-day fast. What do real Christians do? That's what I want to explain. But I'm taking a break now. I'm quickly talking. I want to talk about what it means to put the body under. When Paul said, I buffet my body. All right? I put my body under so that I will not, after preaching to other people, be a castaway. Let me quickly explain it. My wife and I were discussing yesterday, and we were talking about senses, yes. So we're just discussing it, that people tend, that if you lose, you know, we have 5 physical senses, right? Touch, smell, sight, taste, and hearing. How many dimensional? 5 or 6. That when people lose one, the other ones tend to become sharper. Understand? For example, if you see somebody who doesn't see and has not seen for a long time, their hearing is impeccable. Don't whisper something thinking they are not hearing you. They will pretend they are used to it. They identify people by their perfumes. They can identify people by the way they walk. And you didn't know you dragged your feet or something. You're walking, they know this is a person. Why? Because the eyes are not working. They have to compensate. You know what they call Braille? Those small raised dots that blind people used to read. You can't use it. Your tactile, what they call differentiation, is not that good. When they feel 2 spots, you feel 1 most of the time. Why? Because you can see it, so your ability to touch is not as developed as theirs. So my wife and I were discussing all of these things. And I brought something up. I said, that is how spiritual sense also is. There is what generally in the world is called the sixth sense. And that's your spiritual perception. Now, people now say, and which is true. Now, let me quickly say before I tell you what people say. Now, the more you rely, the more developed your physical senses are. We're looking at it as a group now, 2. Physical senses or spiritual senses. The more developed your spiritual senses are, the more developed your physical senses are, the less developed your spiritual senses will be. So what you need to do is to consciously develop your spiritual sense. You understand what I'm saying? And one of the things you do is to weaken the physical one. Are you getting my point? Now, the question now is that, now we're back to how you put the body under. How do you do that? That's what my wife and I were now discussing. How do you do that? Some people say, you do it by not eating. I said, no, that's not it. That's called, Paul talked to you, that does not do anything in promoting righteousness. That's nonsense discipline of the flesh. The kind of discipline of the flesh that you do that improves your spiritual sensitivity is this. It's simple. What drives you every day? Let me give you an example. We're talking the other day. Paul said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age, and he has moved to Thessalonica. You know why? Money is more there. Do you know many of us will not think twice about leaving Lagos and Enugu and going to Lagos, leaving Enugu and going to Port Harcourt, leaving Enugu and going to Abuja? Why? Simply because money is more there. One day I was talking to one of my friends, a pastor now, he had his business downstairs here, and we're talking, and he said something. He said he was talking about relocating and all of that. And I said to him, no, I was preaching in church, and he was there. He said it was the time when he was preaching. I said, that day, I gave him an answer. He said, we have been talking, and I said, look, where should I locate myself? And I said, while preaching, where is your ministry? Where are you affecting people? Where will you disappear from? And everybody will know you have gone. Are you getting my point? Where is your life touching people? He said that day, he canceled his plans because he suddenly realized this is where ministry is for me and headed in that direction. But Paul said, what did Demas say? Demas said, the money here is not enough. Let me move to Thessalonica. Working with this Paul, sometimes one doesn't get 3 square meals a day to eat. Let us move to Thessalonica. So Paul said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age, and he has moved to the Thessalonica. That is flesh. What did I call it? Flesh. How do I put my body under? I don't follow Demas. It is not hunger. Are you getting what I say? It's not deliberate. I won't eat. No. It is if there is no food, we will manage. Paul said, I have learned to abound. I have learned how to abase. Do you get the point I'm making? I have learned that, okay, if I have only 500 naira to eat for 2 days, there are things I don't eat. Somebody tells me, let's go and eat shawarma. I say, eh? Shawarma waiting. Kilo shakini. What? Listen, one of the greatest spiritual disciplines in life you will learn is how to manage money. When I say manage money, to make money stretch, it's a serious spiritual discipline. Serious spiritual discipline. They say, you've checked it. All you have till Friday, now 1,000 naira. This today is Monday. And your mom must work, mom must go out. You must go to work. Listen, this is spiritual discipline. It is not, I call car to be in the name of Jesus. A car will come and carry me by force, in the name of Jesus. That one is good, but the better spiritual discipline is see where you can trek. I will cross the railway there, come out on the Ogui Road. The bus is only 30 naira from that place. If I took it from my house, it's 100. So, instead of leaving house at 7, I leave at 6:15. I use 15 minutes to quickly walk down here, cross this one, jump the rail, come out on the Ogui Road, and then wait there. I have saved 70 naira. That is how spiritual people behave. It is fake spirituality to say, I will stay here and call taxi. Come, taxi, come in the name of Jesus. Listen, that is not the main thing. The main thing is that before you start calling taxi, come, check, can I trek from here to stadium? Yes. If I reach stadium, if I cross here, there's this place where Keke Napep's gather. I sit down there, I wedge myself, 20 naira, I get to the next spot. That way, I stretch my 1,000 naira. And then in the evening, when it's time to eat, there are different things to eat too. They can give you barbecue chicken. And your 1,000 naira will finish once. You eat the chicken, and then tomorrow you say, God, I call food to be. God say, you have eaten today's food yesterday. What should you do? It's simple. Go to where they are eating yam and beans. The thing go plenty. Before you finish digesting the beans and the yam, you have woken up next morning. Ready to roll for the day. What are you doing eating ShopRite bread when you have only 1K a month? What's wrong with one kocha? Look at you. I'm teaching spiritual discipline. That's what it means to put the body under. People tell me they are fast. They don't have normal discipline in life. You don't have money. Your friend says, I shall be time. Say, don't worry. What is the color? Ask the person, what's the color? He said, blue. Don't worry. When I talk to people, say, listen. Tell the, look, you won't buy my Shelby. Don't worry. This is not the only ceremony in your life. Don't worry. Say, this one at wedding. Baby dedication, they come. Tell the other things are coming. This particular Shelby, don't worry. What's the color? Blue. Check your wardrobe. Blue, no day. Go and check your sister's wardrobe. Blue day, no day. Check your mother's wardrobe. Blue, they say, mommy, I bet this blue dress, the Lord has need of it. Borrow it for the day. That is what it means to keep the body under. Are you getting what I'm saying? The keeping of your flesh under, it is when you don't allow pride to deceive you. People will know that I borrowed the dress. Okay, when they have known now, what will happen? They will hang me. What are they going to do? Kill me? If I let me tell you how to make sure you are never, never ashamed, disgrace yourself first. Hey, why am I teaching this thing today? Is this school of prayer? Just when your friend, this is the woman I'm talking to now. I say, next week is Angela's wedding. What are you going to wear? The girl says, blue. Me, I can't buy a Shelby. I'm sorry. You know where I'm working now. The money is not money. They've not paid up for 2 months. So I'm not buying a Shelby. You won't buy Angela's Shelby? Don't worry. Angela will still do things all that day. Other days. What are you going to wear? She said the color code is blue. I've checked my wardrobe, there's no blue dress. But you know my sister, the one that lives in Lagos, she's visiting. I've told her to come with her blue dresses. Once you say it like that, there's no shame again. What are you going to do? I wear my sister's blue dress now. You know we're about the same size. There's no shame. You've announced yourself ahead of time. It is that pride that you are putting under. Are you getting my point? Is pride you are putting under. That is the thing you are kicking below. The other day I went for a funeral. I mentioned it here. One of our brothers, senior brothers, died. And somebody said something about him, very positive, at the wakekeeping, service of songs. He said that, he was telling a story. So let me not tell you what he said about his brother. It was very positive, but I won't tell you about the story he said, he referred to. That there was a man, a pastor in Aba. So somebody asked him, I said, how far? He said, he's leaving Aba and he's moving to Lagos. He said, why are you leaving Aba and moving to Lagos? He said, because he discovered that most of the ministry support he gets is from Lagos. And he said to the other fellow, follow the money. A minister is leaving Aba and moving to Lagos because most of the support for the ministry was coming from Lagos. So he said to himself, follow the money. Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age and moved from Aba to Lagos. That was Thessalonica. How do you put the body under? You will learn how to abound and how to abase. You recognize the will of God that, listen, it is God that is sending that money from Lagos because I am here. If God loves that guy, he will teach him a lesson. And when he moves to Lagos, those guys will find another minister in Aba and be sending the money. That's when he will realize that they were sending you the money because they know they need the gospel in that place. Are you seeing how you put the body under? That is the real putting of the body under. What is the real putting of the body under? In fact, the example my wife and I gave, that the one we're discussing. A man has offended you. You hate him. In fact, so, Brother Lou, we're talking to somebody about your uncle. That after afflicting the whole family, he now came and said, please, I'm sick. Can you people give me money to go and see the doctor? You know what the body says? This is what the Bible calls flesh. Flesh is, you are sick. Let that headache kill you. Yes. Evil man. What a pity. Look at him. That is what the flesh wants to do. But what do? We put the flesh under. We say flesh, no, we won't let you do that. We won't let you do that. Stay under. He wants money, take, go and eat. In your heart, wicked soul, go and eat. The flesh doesn't like him. But the heart has made up its mind to obey the word of God. So I put the flesh under. There's one beautiful picture I see of how couples should quarrel. You must have seen it. They said this is real love. A man and his wife, they were not talking to you. You could see their faces. If you've seen couples angry with each other, the woman faced the other side. But it was raining. So the man did not talk to his wife, but he kept an umbrella over her head. I'm not talking to you, but I will not let rain fall on you. That's called keeping the body under. You are keep. That's how you buffet your flesh. The flesh is saying, wicked woman, let rain fall on you today. When the rain has fallen on you, you will appreciate what God has given you in me as a cover. A PDP cover that I am. Somebody say flesh. That's a flesh. So what do? We keep it under. So we say to ourselves, no, it's my wife. She should not get wet. What do? We just repeat the word of God. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Love your wife. So you say to yourself, I love my wife as Christ loves the church. With her foolishness, I love her. With her stubbornness, she's loved. Doing me evil like this, I still love you. Are you getting my point? I don't let the evil that you have done prevent me from covering you in the rain. That is how I put the flesh under. God told the people of Israel, when you see your neighbor's animal running astray, even if it's your enemy, you're not talking to him, but catch the animal for him, tie it somewhere, and inform him where it is. How do I keep the flesh under? That's what I'm trying to explain. This man will never pay me my money. If I lend it to him, he won't pay. I'm sure of it. But he's hungry. What am I going to do? Will I refuse to give him money to eat just because I'm not sure I'll get the money back? That's keeping the flesh under. There's one thing I learned long ago. Let nobody go to sleep hungry and tell God you were the last person he saw. There's one brother used to do one funny thing to me. I thought he was irresponsible in the way he did things. I didn't like the way he handled his life and ministry. But I told my wife, if it is hunger, it must never happen. I was a married man with children. I said, it must never happen that he goes to sleep. He did not eat. He didn't eat. And when he wanted to sleep, he says to the Lord, Lord, I've not eaten today. I called Banky. He didn't answer me. I said, you will dream bad dreams. All the witches will be pursuing your dream that night. You won't know why. You will rebuke them. They won't go away. Why? Because one brother, one son of God, one child of God somewhere, he can't sleep well. His children are not sleeping well. And you were the last person they spoke to concerning food. It mustn't happen that he sleeps. And he spoke to me that day. And the children cannot sleep. Why are you looking for trouble for yourself? That's why witches pursue you. You saw what I say. All these people that say witches are pursuing me is their wickedness. All the people that refuse to help. Brilliant cousin you have. Or nephew. He wants to go to school. You are angry with his father. What he did to you 7 years ago. This boy is brilliant. You know his father is such a useless man. He has ruined all the inheritance your grandfather left all of you. Are you not going to take his iniquity out on him? So call the boy and say, I'm going to give you money, but don't tell your father. How much is wask? The boy tells you, it is 15,000 naira. And you're supposed to change your tires tomorrow. That is when you need faith. But if you go to the tire, I speak to you, you will not leak. Don't disgrace me. Yes, that 18,000 naira, you needed it for tires. You give to the young man, go and pay. You won't say because you are angry with his father. Are you getting my point? That is what they call putting the body under. Many fasting people are wicked people. You've seen them. In the midst of their fast, when they grab your neck like this, You wonder where the energy came from. You're wondering where this guy got the energy from.